It is Danny and Gallant, and right now we're really happy to welcome in a friend of ours, even though we wish the circumstances were different. Ray Roberts is someone who is a former Seahawk player, someone who has been a great friend to this station, someone who has been a tremendous leader in the community. And Ray, I first of all just want to say I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us this morning.
I really appreciate you reaching out, Danny, and also giving me time to process if this was something I wanted to do or not, just because my feelings and emotions and things are all over the place, and I wanted to make sure that if I had the opportunity that I did right by the opportunity.
Well, we certainly appreciate taking the time, and like I said in the message yesterday, my hope and what I think I can do best is listen and try to amplify the voices of people who are speaking about the pain and the emotions that have led to some of what we've seen. So I guess I'll start, like, just what have you felt over this past week?
Well, honestly, Danny, I'd like to say two things. First, to answer your question, I've felt the need to connect and to reach out to people I love, regardless of their race or gender or culture or what have you, and just let them know that I love them and that that I'm here for them. And then secondly, in trying to figure out, you know, what to share today, I just kind of prepared some things. And so if you don't mind, if you're willing, you know, you said
go ahead, Ray.
In this pop, I would just like to read through what I have.
That's great.
And then, and then let that sit wherever it sits, if that's okay.
Yes, absolutely. Please go ahead, Ray.
Go ahead, bud.
Thanks, buddy. How you doing, Paul?
Doing well, Ray. Good to hear from you.
You too, brother. I first want to say that thank you to those that are down for the cause and willing to sacrifice more than their words to create change. I am not a fan of the looting and robbing and stealing and violence. However, I am unapologetic as it relates to the intensity of the peaceful protesters and the discomfort it may produce for those sitting on their hands and finding every excuse imaginable and choosing to be distracted from the underlying issues. This is my truth. Agree, disagree, or agree to disagree. I really do not care. My truth does not represent the truth of all African Americans, but it was influenced by similar and often the same life experiences we all share. I have a lot on my mind, and most of it is fueled by anger, frustration, disappointment, and sadness. So what I'm going to say is what's on my mind at the moment. I would like to take this time to paint a picture that I hope will replace the images of the last few days and lead to a level of understanding, sympathy, and empathy, and actionable, measurable change. I do not have all the answers, and this is not intended to help you figure out what to do. That's your work. In 1619, the first Africans were kidnapped and brought to this country. They landed on the shores of Virginia, a place called Point Comfort, of all places, and were auctioned off and sold into slavery. From that moment, the blood that ran through the veins of this country did not run for us. The heartbeat of this country did not beat for us. We were never intended to share in its success or live freely within its borders. Think about that. Then consider this. Enoch Waters, who graduated from Hampton University in 1933 and worked for the Chicago Defender, the nation's largest black daily newspaper, and became the editor of the Associated Negro Press, wrote a piece entitled "The Only American." It reads, "The black man is the only American who came here not seeking freedom because he had been robbed of it, not looking for a home because he had been snatched from his, not as a fugitive from persecution because it awaited him, not in search of opportunity because it was beyond his reach, not in pursuit of happiness because he had left it behind, not hoping for love, because there was none for him, and not willingly, because he came as a slave in chains. Think about that. Paint that picture in your mind and sit with it. Also sit with this. There were multiple generations of black people born in this country that never experienced freedom. I'll say it again. There were multiple generations of black people born in this country that never experienced freedom. Fast forward to the life and times of my grandfather, Warren Henry Roberts. He served and fought for this country. He fought for freedoms and rights that he did not have access to in this country. When he returned home, he was still called. He could not eat in the same restaurants or drink from the same water fountains as his fellow white soldiers. He could not sit in the same classrooms or live in the same neighborhoods. The back door was still the expected entrance to most establishments. He did not have the same access to health care, education, jobs, or housing that the white soldiers had. He could be beaten and even murdered for just looking at a white woman. And many of the perpetrators of these actions were white dudes he fought alongside of. So when I think about Kaepernick kneeling and all the shouts of he's disrespecting the flag, the military in this country, my blood boils. Our sacrifice for this country is unmatched, and it's not even close. Now, fast forward to the life and times of my father, Richard Ray Roberts Sr., and my uncles. And in this moment, I don't want to forget all the black women who suffer the most when black men are snatched for their lives and they're not fathers and they're not providers and they're not husbands and they're not someone to love on. They were denied opportunities, tormented, and had to face and endure blatant racism and hate, and had to bite, scratch, and claw for limited resources, essential jobs. It saddens me to know that my dad's best self was diminished and limited because of systems, mindsets, and people who do not value him as a man or as a human. Then I think of my life, the things I've seen. As a kid, I witnessed Klan marches in my town. The summer before ninth grade, while on a bike ride with my cousin, I was chased by a group of white dudes. I crashed and broke my wrist. I missed the beginning of the football season because of it. And I cannot count the number of times I've been called. My mother was told by my elementary school principal that I should attend a college that focused on football because I would never graduate from the University of Virginia. To feel like I wasn't even completely welcomed at the University of Virginia. Even as a player in the NFL, while a member of the Detroit Lions, I was pulled over and asked to explain how I could afford such a nice car or what work did I do to afford it. I was also stopped driving through my own neighborhood and asked, why was I there? I was stopped in Redmond, Washington, just a little ways from my home, and asked if I was lost. Then I think of more recent things, like athletes been told to stick to sports, or players been called sons of by the president, to African-American men being murdered by those who are sworn to protect. When it comes to people of color and protests or pushback in this country, it more times than not is met with force and aggression. While whites holding guns, assault rifles, and who knows what else, are free to move about and within a state capitol building, screaming in the faces of law enforcement and taunting them. Then I think to white mass shooters being apprehended alive and even taken to Burger King or even given water to be made comfortable. And I see black men. Sorry. I see black men dying while selling cigarettes and CDs, while being stopped for a traffic violation, being killed while in cuffs, and like Mr. Floyd, begging to breathe and shouting out for the comfort and safety of his already deceased mother. I can't help but have images of slaves being beaten and hung to death, begging and shouting out for the comfort and safety of their motherland. I could go on and on, I believe and feel that what we are seeing and witnessing in this moment is an uncovering or exposing of a wound that was never meant to be tended to nor healed. We were expected to lay down, obey, fall in line, or bleed out. And honestly, guys, there is financial gain for some to keep it that way. CNN, Fox, other sports outlets, other media outlets and platforms all feed the beast. They lack cultural and racial representation, cultural awareness and competence, and engage in divisive language, opinions, and programming because it drives listenership, and that fills bank accounts. It's like a competition or a sport in and of itself. Who can be the most outrageous, the most controversial, the most divisive? It has become a game to gain the most listeners so that they can pat themselves on the back, feel good about their ratings, and put money in their pockets. And although I appreciate the opportunity to speak freely on this station, Bonneville is just as guilty. So to close, this is bigger than George Floyd or Trayvon Martin or Ferguson or Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X. This is about a historical mindset and system that was never intended to benefit us, and we were never expected to defeat it or overcome it. And to those of you who are participating in the riots, know that there are those who see this as an opportunity to destroy, rob, and steal. Know that there are those covertly involved to instigate so that the peaceful protesters can take the blame. Know that destruction and violence is how the other side expects and wants you to respond, so that they can use these actions to distract themselves from the real issues and use as an excuse not to hear us. Know that if they can't hear us, they cannot be challenged to defeat their own biases, isms, flawed mindsets, perspectives, and actions. And if they can't do that, they can't have their hearts changed. And if they can't do that, then policies and laws do not change. And if that happens, the future is bleak, and we continue to lose, and injustice continues to prevail. And to those on the other side, you know the game that's being played. You know what the issues are, and you're choosing to be distracted. By doing so, you protect your level of comfort, and your comfort will be the reason our country will never be its best self. Choose to engage the discomfort of putting in the work. Challenge and defeat yourselves. It is an individual and personal journey. Then use your privilege, access, resources, influence, knowledge, and power to help make a difference and deliver change. And so with that, I'd just like to say, you know, thank you guys for giving me the space to say that. Really hard to get through. And
Ray,
I needed to do it so that I could so that I could communicate what I'm feeling.
Ray, thank you for sharing your perspective.
It was very powerful.
I value you. I value you, and I hear you. And you're a very important friend to me.
This is really hard, Danny. It really is, bro.
Yeah.
Like, with all the success I've had, and I don't read that for people to feel sorry for me or to be a victim or anything, because I still, at night, worry about my son getting home. And that was before, even before this. I still worry that my son gets home safely, that he doesn't get pulled over. My son is 6'8" and 300 pounds, and he drives a big car with big wheels and tinted windows and loud music, and he lives in Woodinville. So it would be really easy for a movement of his to be misunderstood and him not make it. So that's the type of stuff that people live with daily.
Yeah.
not just in these moments, but it's daily. Every day, people live like this. It's a burden that they carry. It's a fear. It's an anxiety. Even thinking about social distancing and wearing masks, I have to think about every single time I go in the grocery store, I put a mask on, and I make sure that I'm friendly and I speak to every single person I come by, because I don't want anybody to misinterpret my body language or anything as something other than just trying to find food. The other side doesn't deal with that, Daddy.
No,
we don't.
I love you, Ray. And
thank you, man.
I hope you find some comfort and know that I hear what you're saying. And I really appreciate you coming on and being vulnerable.
As do I.
And talking the way you did. It's important. It's important for us to hear.
Well, thanks for having me, man. You know, like I've done a lot of work for that radio station, and I enjoy doing it. But I also know that there's some things that need to be different. There's some things where people need to put their money where their mouth is about what it is that they represent. And there's also people that I consider friends there that live in that space of divisiveness. And that's not right, Daddy.
No.
That being divisive is,
it's wrong.
Is not even a freaking atom in my body. Like, I'm a connector, dude. I'm a lover of people.
Yep.
And so it's really hard to be around people that enjoy divisiveness and enjoy that type of language and that type of lifestyle just to put money in their pocket to be popular. It's hard.
You mentioned something, Ray, that I think is important to go back to, and for parts of the audience and for people like me, is that we've got some work to do. You didn't build the system. Yeah. Blacks in this country did not build this system. It's the people that built it that need to take long, hard, and uncomfortable looks at the things that we can do to change it. And that's on us. I do feel that very, very viscerally. And Ray, I'm just going to say thanks again for coming on.
Yes,
I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, and we'll talk soon. Ray, give your son a hug for me. And give my love
Absolutely.
To your family.
I'm sending you guys big hugs too, man.
All right.
Thanks,
Take
Ray.
Care, Ray.
Appreciate you, bro.
Love you, bud.
All right.